This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you to the worship team for leading us into worship. And when I was worshiping the second last song, the Holy Spirit reminded me that how lightly we take each and every day. And he reminded me that the biggest testimony in my life is that I'm alive and standing in front of you. There are a lot of people we don't know, might have slept yesterday and didn't have the opportunity or privilege to see the new day. But we are privileged. And God gave us this new day as a new opportunity, again a new time to start our relationship once again with Him, freshly, newly. And I think sometimes we really take it as granted or maybe we forget it. Before we go into the sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. Yes, Lord, we exalt you, Lord. We exalt your name. We lift up your name because you are the living God. You are our God. We can cry out your name. We can call unto your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for, yes, keeping us alive, Lord. Thank you for giving us this new opportunity for new day, Lord, so that we can walk according to your will. We can seek your face. Thank you for this moment, Lord. Lord, as we go into the sermon, Lord, I pray that you anoint my tongue, Lord. Whatever, each and every word that I speak should come from you, O Lord. Lord, I pray against each and every things that is not from you, Lord, which tries to distract us, Lord. Lord, I bind those things with the blood of Jesus Christ and cast it out, Lord. Thank you for the authority that you have given us, Lord. Lord, as we go into the sermon, prepare the ground, Lord. Prepare the hearts that you want to speak to today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let me introduce myself. My name is Banish, and I live in Zeist. It's been I am basically from India, from where Eliza comes, and it was really nice to have you, Eliza. And it's been almost more than 3.5 years that I have been living in Netherlands with my wife and daughter. Today, the message that God has given me to share with you is taken from the book of Psalm chapter 1. And the title of the sermon is Tree or Shaft. When I was meditating on today's, this tree or shaft, I got two words that the Holy Spirit poured in my heart. It was rooted and planted. And God wants us to be rooted and planted. Today we will go through the whole Psalm 1. It's about 6 verses. We'll go through each and every. We'll see today what are the ways of a righteous and an unrighteous person. What are the perspective? How do a righteous person see and how a unrighteous person see the world? So I'll start from Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the first verse. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful." I'm Indian, so for me also, English is the second language. So please bear with me if I go something wrong. But I trust God that He will speak to you through that. So what I did is, like, sometimes I use the amplified version of Bible to just make it more easy and self-explainable. So I took the next verse of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 from the amplified, and it says, "Blessed." And what does the blessed includes? Fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers. So if we look at the blessed word, it comes from, if we look at the Hebrew, the translation, it is taken from the word called Iser. And if we understand the meaning of that, it tells to be fortunate, to be prosperous, to be favored. And then if we look at the root form of that word Iser, it says to be right with someone, to be right with God, you know. So blessed is the man. So it's like, it's not specifically saying that blessed is the king, blessed is the servant, blessed is the poor, blessed is the rich. No, it's not like that. Blessed is the Jewish or blessed is the Gentiles. It says blessed is the man. So it's applicable to each and every one. It's irrespective of caste, irrespective of race, irrespective of gender. It's open, it's applicable to each and every one. We see blessing means that we are fortunate, we are prosperous, and we are favored in the sight of God. But sometimes we take it in a different perspective. I don't know, it might be, I'm 100% sure that it can also happen with you. Sometimes I have a very rough day in my work or maybe in my life. I have a very rough day. And then I come to God and I ask, God, you want me to excel in my work. You want me to excel what I am doing because I trust that you have put me here. But still sometimes I fail. And if I fail, people will complain. And if people will complain, how will they see my perfect God in my life? How will they see perfect God in my work? And I think we misunderstand. We try to relate the blessing sometime with our success or our materialistic things, our prosperity, or, yeah, a lot of things, and we feel like we are not blessed. But if we go to the, you know, the deep meaning of the blessings, it's to be content. It's to have that joy, that peace. And when I was preparing this sermon, I was reading the difference between the joy and the peace, and I think everyone knows about this, the difference between the joy and the peace. To have joy, it is irrespective of our circumstances. It is irrespective of what's going on in our life. It is irrespective of anything that is going right now in our life or maybe going to happen in our life. We are blessed. And when I have this rough day, I remember that when I go to God and I complain that why this is happening, God. I'm praying. I start my day with prayer. I go and even anoint my machines, anoint my laptop, because I'm working on that day on that machine. I'm working more than 12 hours on that machine. I anoint it. I start my day. And there are people who are just coming and sitting, and they don't believe in you, and they are excelling, and I don't excel. Maybe I get into troubles. If some work which is taking me 4 hours, sometime it might take me a whole day, and you don't want me to excel. I complain. And the Holy Spirit reminds us, you know, He reminds me that our God is a God who takes us through the storm. So He is not a God who will stop the storm coming into our life. He will keep us stand in midst of that storm, and He will lift us and take our hands and walk with us through that storm, you know. And I see that when I go through those past whole week, and I try to realize like how I started my Monday and how I started, ended my Friday, I see that it's happening. It's happening. Like I started Monday like this, and then it goes on like that, you know. And I think that's the thing that we sometimes miss. If something happens, we just complain. We just complain. And I have seen in my life, people, they are very good at complaining. Anything. It's about food, it's about water, it's about electricity, it's about taxes, it's about bill, it's about anything. Let's complain. You know? Yeah. So we will see. We see here in first verse, it says, what the righteous man doesn't do. Blessed is the man, what he doesn't do. We see three things. Not walk in the counsel of wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And if we break down these things, it's like, starts with like, walks not in the counsel of ungodly. So we may have a counsel of, or the ungodly people have their own counsel, their own surrounding, their own friends. And then the next step is, nor stands in the path of sinners. So the next step is the sinners. And the third is scornful, nor sits in the seat of scornful. And that's the third degree, I would say, the third degree of the unrighteousness. If we look, the ungodly, the first thing which says that ungodly have their own counsel, ungodly people have their own surroundings, own people, own assembly, own friends, own circle, you know. Nowadays, it's like, I would say, how can I give you an example? Like, the ungodly people are like, I don't believe in God, but you can live a right life, an honest life, and don't make a fuss of religion, they say. That's what the ungodly people say. Love each other, they say. Love each other, but don't talk about God. And ungodly is something, that's what we see, right? That God is not with him or that person. He is without God. He doesn't have God in his life. The second thing that we see, nor stands in the path of sinners. This is the second thing. So how I was trying to make it more clear and understandable and trying to relate. So it's like, we know that sin is progressive. It doesn't start and then it takes you to the third degree within a day. It's not like that. It starts very slowly. It creeps into our life very slowly, and then it Yeah, it takes us away from God. It separates us away from God. That's how it happens. And I was trying to point it out. I haven't mentioned it over in the slide, but it starts with thinking, when we think. And I was reading somewhere that it says, and I agree with it, it says that the most deceiving thing that we have in our life is our own mind and heart. It can really deceive us. So it starts with thinking. And when we have that thinking in our head, we start acting, behaving in that way. And when we start acting and behaving and repeatedly doing that thing, we belong to that category. We belong to that, I would say, yeah, that category. So that's what it says. Walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. And when we belong to that category, the scoffers are the one who are at that degree of sin, at that degree of stage in the life, that they mock on every holy things. They mock. They will straight away mock. They will mock about God. They will mock about any sacred thing. They will mock about anything. And I have seen it. I have seen it. To be very honest, in my workplace, I have seen people mocking Christians. People mocking Christians. I remember it was my last job where I think it was the first day, and then we were having like an online meeting, drinks meeting, like you can bring your coffee online in a Teams chat and then, just chit chat. And then from somewhere, this guy, he was working for a robotic automation company somewhere in Barneveld. And then he started saying like, when I was working, there were people like, they used to go to lunch, and before lunch, they used to pray, and then I was surprised, like, okay, they were praying. And from there, they started mocking, I was quiet for half of the meeting, but when it was really extreme, I could not stop myself, and I said, like, please, can we switch the topic? Can we switch the subject? Because I am a believer, and I cannot keep on listening to this. And they were respectful, I would say, and they never talked about it for the rest of the time. And that's what happened. When people who are scornful or ridiculous or mockers, it's very easy to sit with them, to make friends with them, and mock about the sacred things, mock about, yeah, godly things, mock about the believers. But we as a believer, we as a righteous people, we should stand against it and say, like, hey man, if you want to mock, you can pour everything on me, but still you will hear from me that I love Jesus, I love God. Second thing that I want to bring up here is when we walk in a righteous way, when we are very close to God, when we have a relationship with God, we know, the righteous person knows to discern the will of God, the discern the counsel of God, what is coming. So if I'm going to make a decision, if I'm asking someone, and if the person is giving me an answer, I can discern it, if that is a godly answer or not a godly answer. And that's very important. Many of us as a Christian, I think we fail on that first step, that we forget, or maybe we cannot discern the godly and ungodly counsel. That's what it says. There's a scripture which is taken from Psalm chapter 119, verse 24. It says, "Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors." So who can be our counselors? Who can be our counsel? It's God himself. It's his word. I can tell you, we don't need anyone. We can directly go to God and ask. Yeah, sometimes it happens, you know, that we struggle to hear from God. Then we need brothers who are in Christ to pray for us and then, you know, yeah, pray for us and hear from God. But the ultimate source, should be God, should be from his word, you know. The next verse, which is the second Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, we'll see what the righteous man does actually. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." It was really convicting to me when I was meditating on it, you know. So let's take a moment and think about it. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." What gives you happy today? What makes you happy? Is it something that you like? For example, it can be food, it can be watching Netflix, it can be playing games or anything. If that's the case, then we don't come in a righteous, we are in the unrighteous. Because our delight, scripture says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." The thing that really convicted me is when I was thinking, I really like to spend my time with my family, my children, my family, my daughter. And still, I'm not in that righteous category because the most pleasing thing should be to a righteous man is to spend time with the Father in his word. That should be the most pleasing thing to us. So it was really convicting to me. It says, like, if personal pleasure is the only thing that makes you happy, then you are a selfish, self-centered person. If being with your family or friends delights you, that can be better, but still falls short. The righteous man finds his delight in the law of the Lord. And I came through this, when I was preparing, I came through this saying which was quoted by Martin Luther. He said, "He could not live in paradise without the word of God, but he could live well enough in hell with the word of God." That much delight he was on the word of God. If the heaven is without the word of God, I am not going to heaven. If in the hell there is the word of God, I am going to hell and live peacefully with the word of God. And that's what it happens, you know. Sometimes, I don't know if it happens in your life, but it's really, sometimes it happens with my life. I really have to push myself to go and read the scripture. I really have to push myself. If it's watching something on YouTube, you say, and then I will be there. But if it is really like, you know, I have to, I think it was 3 weeks back, we were doing in the Bible school the module was about reading the book of Acts, and I was like, oh man, it's one of the toughest thing. I have to go and read the whole book of Acts, You know, but if it would have been something like watching Netflix or do something, you know, watching a documentary, it is very easy, like go and just sit on the couch and watch it, you know. And that shows us how much far we are from God, how much broken we are, and how much we need Him. The second part of this verse, he says, on His law, He meditates day and night. When I hear the word meditates, this is very popular word in, especially in the Eastern countries, meditation. There is a very big difference between the meditation of the Eastern world and a Christian meditation, biblical meditation. In Eastern world meditation, when you see, you might have, I'm sure you might have seen it, it says like, empty your mind, empty your heart, you know, make it a vacuum. But in our Christian meditation, it says, fill your mind, fill your heart with the Word of God. And that's the meditation. Because we know that if our mind is empty, it's an invitation for the evil to come in. It's an invitation to the demonic power to come in. It's an invitation to the sin to come in. But if our mind and our heart is filled with the Word of God, we will see each and everything with His perspective. And then I was actually going deep into it. And then I saw that there is also, so we saw the difference between an Eastern meditation and the Christian meditation. But then when we come to a Christian meditation, we see a lot of people don't meditate, but they just study the Bible. They will just study the Bible, which is also a different thing if we take it, compare it with meditation. Reading the word, reading the scripture is something is like collecting information. It's something like, you know, we are just collecting information. We know what had happened in this chapter, or we know what happened during David, or, you know, what happened at that time. But when we meditate comes into picture when we try to apply that in our personal life. And that moment, the Holy Spirit comes. He speaks to us. He convicts us through those words when we meditate, on those scriptures. Now the next verse, which is verse 3. We'll see here how the righteous man is blessed. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is the life of a righteous man. This is the promise that God has given to us. This is the life that He wants to give it to us, and it's for everyone. This is a tree is very, we see in lot of trees used as a metaphor and also as a direct object in the whole Bible. We see lot of times, and when I was reading specifically, it reminded me the second chapter of Genesis, where it says like the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of truth and evil. So tree has been used, we see, in a lot of places in scripture. And I think I have put a picture also of the tree and how it looks. This, how beautiful it is, you see. The tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. The same reference we can see, which is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." See how clear it is. If we ponder on this, if we meditate on this verse, it is complete, right? It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And then it also says us that our life is not smooth. We are in the broken world. We will have problems. We will have troubles. We will have up and downs. And still, this person will not be anxious. In the year of drought, when we will go through the dry seasons of our life, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So we will bear fruit throughout all the seasons of our life. If it's the dry season, if it's the rainy season, or if it's the season where we are really on the mountain. So we see the metaphor that is used over here as a tree. And if we go back to the picture, if we look at the picture, if we look at the root of the tree, we see that the root of the tree is running towards the water, the stream of water. And that's how our life should be. Our source of nourishment, our source of life should be the Word of God. And when our source of life, source of nourishment is the Word of God, our roots will go much and much more deeper, and we will grow like this. And I was just listing down the characteristics of a healthy tree, you know. It says the healthy tree will have an extending root, lot of root, increasing in woody fibers, blossoms, leaves, fruits. And then I was trying to list down the characteristics of healthy, a righteous, healthy believer, a righteous person, you know. There are a lot of, but I have just listed down two or three. There are a lot of others. The first is that feeds on the Word of God. The righteous person feeds on the Word of God. The second thing is that practices God's presence. The third is joyfully rooted in gospel. The fourth is faithfully endures suffering. And the fifth is bearing fruit. And when we talk about the fruit, specifically, I want to mention that when we are very close to God, when we have a relationship with God, and He is our source, He is our joy of life, we will have the fruit, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. We see it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So that's how we see the life of the righteous people. The leaves will not go dry, and whatever the righteous person do, he will prosper. Now we saw the life of a righteous person. Let's have a glance in the life of the unrighteous person. How does it look? And the Bible says, the wicked are not so, but are like a chaff that the wind drives away. And I'm quite sure that you know what chaff is. It's just the covering of the grain that we throw it away. It's one of the, I think it's the lightest thing that will just, when you have, like, for example, I have a picture for that. Yeah, you see this. This is the chaff that will just blow away with the wind. I'm quite sure that you might have seen before the winnowing machines. Now it's like we have machines to, blow away the chaff. But before that, we had this kind of shovel where you used to do like this on the grain, and then it will blow away the chaff, you know. That's the value of the life of an unrighteous person. It's very light. It doesn't have any value. It is worthless. It is dead. So it's worthless to God, dead in spirit, unserviceable, without substance, easily carried away. And we see that, how, like, I remember, like, I used to ask my pastor back in India, like, how do you know if a person is really a believer? And then he will say, like, you know, the Bible says that by the fruit. And then after that, I don't have idea. Okay, by the fruit, but what is the fruit? And how do you know if a person is bearing fruit, you know? But it's when if we see, it says easily carried away. A person who is unrighteous, who doesn't have a relationship with God, he will be easily carried away. He will be easily carried away with, say for example, there is some hot news going on today, and then he will be carried away with that. Oh, yes, maybe that is the reason. Yeah, that's why tomorrow something is happening, you know. And then day after tomorrow, someone else said something, and then, oh, no, I think this is, this guy is true, you know. And he will be easily carried away. He doesn't have strong ground where he can stand, because he is not rooted, he is not planted on God. He can be easily carried away. And then, of course, we saw it in the second verse where he will have a lot of counsel, the ungodly counsel. He will be surrounded with ungodly counsel. So it's very easy to be carried away for those kind of person. So we see how the difference is there between a life of a righteous and an unrighteous person, between a tree and a chaff. It's a big difference. And there's another one that I have taken from Hosea chapter 13, verse 3. It's also it is using the metaphor for describing the life of an unrighteous people. It says, therefore, they will be like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears, like chaff swirling from a threshing floor, like smoke escaping through a window. So it's like they doesn't have any value. If you see the morning mist, it's there maybe for a few hours, like maybe 10, or when the sun is up, it goes away. It vaporizes. That's how light the life of an unrighteous person is. Then we'll see in next verse, which is chapter 1, verse 5 from Psalm. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It's very important. It's very important. You know, if we take a look on this metaphor that was used about by for describing the life of unrighteous chaff, they will be blown away. They will be burnt when Jesus will come. They will be burnt. The righteous and unrighteous will be separated. And that's what we do in the process of winnowing. We try to separate the grain from the chaff, from the dust. And that's what it says. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. So it's like the wicked, of course, the wicked has to go through judgment, but they won't have a ground where they will be standing and telling God, like, God, we have done this for you, or we have done this. There is nothing they can say. And it says then the second, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. On the second coming of Jesus, sinners will be taken away. They will be separated from the congregation of the righteous. The next verse, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Me being a father, my daughter is just like 18 months old. I know what she will do right now, what she will do. If I tell her, like, you know, don't get up on the couch, she will do that. I know. If I say that, don't do that, she will do that. I know that. That's because she is very close to me. I know her. That's how our relationship with Father, when we come very close to God, when we have a very close relationship with Him, He knows our ways. He knows that we are going to walk according to His will, according to His plan. And He helps us. He lifts us. He walks with us through those times. And it says, but the way of the wicked will perish. Yes, the way of the wicked will not stand before God. The last slide that I have today is the question, who influences me and what is my delight? Are we being influenced by the ungodly counsel? Are we being influenced by whatever is going on surrounding us? Or are we being influenced by the Word of God? And what is my delight? Do we have delight on something else other than the Word of God? I think today we have a communion. And as we go into the communion, we take this moment to think on this, what we were going through this verse, and think, are we really being influenced by the Word of God, or are we being influenced by whatever it is going on our surrounding? And what is the thing that my heart delights on today? If it's not the Word of God, it's a beautiful moment right now. We will not do like here, I'm not going to pray, but we will take the bread and the juice, I don't say wine, it's not wine, And then we will sit together. You can pair up with someone who is sitting beside you. And then ponder on it. And if you find that you do not have delight on the word of God, or you are being influenced by ungodly counsel, then you can pair up with that person and pray for one another and repent on it and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can walk and you can be filled and you can be rooted and planted like the tree that was there. Before we go into the communion, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment, Lord. Thank you for this word that you spoke to us in our heart. Thank you for the conviction, for reminding us that your word should be the ultimate source. Your word should be the ultimate source for our nourishment. Lord, thank you for reminding us the promise that you have for us to make us fruitful. To make us a blessing. As we go into the communion, Lord, we remember how much you loved us. We were drowned in sin. We were slave to the sin. We spoke against you. We refused to listen to you. But still, Lord, you had sent your Son for us. He was sinless. He did not knew sin. But he took away all our sin on that cross. And as we go into the communion, Lord, help us to remember. Help us to remember, Lord, that we were not worthy, but you made us worthy. We were not close to you, but you pulled us, Lord, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We take this communion in remembrance of the flesh that was broken, that was torn for our sin, and the blood that was poured out for our sin, to clean our sin, Lord, so that our relationship can be reconciled with you, Lord. We can come back to you. We can call you Abba Father. You are our perfect Father. Lord, our biological Father, any person who is very close to us in this world, Lord, is not perfect. But you are perfect. You know our heart. You know the desire of our heart, Lord. Lord, we pray as we go into this communion, speak to us, Lord. Convict us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That we may say and we may do that, yes, Lord, you are our delight. Your words are our delight of our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.